He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.
It is indeed, and the electric car industry deserves, I think, some discussion from this particular person, me, because I am at odds with Jay over certain things, as many repeat listeners have probably heard in earlier shows.
So you're taking advantage of his absence?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
In one sense of the word, but he'll be back to rebut it, I'm sure, at some point. However, the industry rags on this topic are all about the demand is exceeding the supply of electric vehicles, especially in this era of very high gasoline prices. I'll get back to gasoline prices and diesel prices in a minute, because I had a survey taken. I took a survey in a recent trip between Massachusetts and Connecticut and New York, but we'll get back in a minute. But back to electric vehicles. My contention is that for a while, anyway, electric vehicle acceptance by many types of drivers is currently on the back burner with those that I speak with for the main reason that I have been talking about on this show, which is range anxiety. There's a lot of discussion about what range anxiety really is. And my take on range anxiety, which would keep me from probably acquiring an electric vehicle anytime soon, is if you can't go in all types of weather conditions, and this is crucial in the Northeast where we live, over 300 miles on a charge, I would be very much adverse to buying a total electric vehicle, sticking with the plug-in hybrids and or hybrid vehicles as my long-term choice for vehicles that do better on fuel than just fossil fuel vehicles.
And let me just interject for a moment, because I don't know if you've been watching any sports, but always there are car ads, and they have, I don't want to say they have sneakily stuck in, you can go for 300 miles on a charge as part of, and I can't remember which breed they're flogging right now. But it's, I raise that because of what you say, and there's no, I mean, maybe in the very, 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 very fine print, nothing that says this is affected, obviously, by weather and how much AC you have and how much blah, 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 blah.
That is very true, and that is where they're going to get themselves into some trouble. There's already an owner of a Mustang, an EMAC, an electric Mustang owner, who is making a lot of vocal claims about his disappointment with his Mustang because he was told by the dealer that he would get such and such mileage, and it was around the 300-mile mark, and he has discovered that he is not getting, I don't know, these are my words, anywhere near 300 miles in the type of driving that he is apparently doing with his vehicle. And that is a whole other topic for discussion, the type of driving you do with an electric vehicle. Yes, the electric vehicle makes no noise, so when you're stopped at a light or whatever, you're not using any power other than running the electronics that are always required to be running when you're driving an electric vehicle. But there have already been stories of electric vehicles in the wintertime, in the very extreme cold, for example, where the mileage that owners have been getting has been seriously diminished by bitterly cold temperatures. One of the problems with bitterly cold temperatures in electric vehicles is if you don't have a heated garage to park it in overnight, the car is outside in the elements. And lithium batteries, which is what most of the electric vehicles are running on at the moment, are not known to like cold weather. That would certainly be my case if I had an electric vehicle, because I don't have any garage space right now to house it.
And is yours heated?
And it's not heated, even if I did have a roof over it.
And again, I'm adding that simply because I had a number of, normally reliable, absolutely just silly, a clicker, a this, a that, fail in some bitter. And you know, I do have a garage, but it was really cold a couple of a few mornings.
Well, yes, that's all true. Clickers also don't like cold weather.
Right.
I have a clicker for my Hyundai Sonata, which is a push-button start vehicle. And if I leave that clicker in the car outside, I will admit that the battery probably needs to be replaced. But that clicker does not operate under extreme cold conditions, even if it's sitting right next to the ignition of the car where the electronics receive the signal to start the car. I have to bring it in the house and or warm it up for up to 10 minutes before I can get the vehicle to start in a zero-degree day, for example, if I've left the clicker in the car overnight. So this cold weather thing affects a lot of things. But let's go beyond the cold weather topic, which is clear, to other things that I think are going to take electric vehicles a long time to come on mainstream. Because when they do come mainstream, we've got some more problems. We've got problems of numerical locations of electric charging stations with numbers of charging ports that will be available to people who try to all end up in the same, service center along the major highways at a time when they all want to have their cars recharged, and there are 30 cars there that might come in for a hamburger or whatever, and 10 charging ports available unless there's an incredible amount of money spent putting in numbers of charging ports that will be adequate when we are going mainstream. Now, you've got states that are telling us that they want to have all electric vehicles being sold in their states by, 2040, 2035. That itself is a challenge that I don't know whether it'll actually occur or not, but if you are in a state which says they don't want no more fossil fuel cars to be sold, owners of cars are either not going to buy those cars new, that's an extreme possibility, to there'll be so many electric cars on the road that need charging in between point A and point B, because for whatever reason, that there won't be the charging ports available so that they can be recharged in a timely fashion. The other part with the timely fashion situation is because there are improvements being made in charging capabilities, both in batteries and all that, is that if you go, the infrastructure of the charging stations, and this is really a long-range problem probably, is going to be taxing on the grid, and we're going to have all sorts of other situations coming on stream that are not being discussed because it's not something anybody wants to discuss, but it's going to happen. I won't be around for much of this, but to the point, they're talking about 800-volt battery electrical systems being installed in some of the newer, in some of the oncoming electric vehicles, which will allow batteries to take a charge much more quickly, apparently, as you read the specs about it, and other advantages of 800-volt systems. Right now we've got, I think, 48-volt, 400-volt, up to 400-volt electrical systems being installed in some of the oncoming electric vehicles and or the ones that are existing. But if you have a vehicle that has an 800-volt electrical system in it, any electrician listening to this can correct me if I'm really wrong, but we don't have in our houses anything close to 800-volt capacity in the houses at the electric panels that are now installed in most basic, not too overly large homes, which are 200-amp boxes in our house. And I don't know whether if you only have a 200-amp box in your house, you'd ever be able to take advantage of the charging capabilities of 800-volt systems in the coming electric vehicles. But if that becomes a norm, this is going to be a very costly expense for areas where they're going to be putting in charging ports to pay to put in charging ports that could charge these newer systems at a rapid charging rate, so that it would be, if not equal to what it takes, only takes to fill up a car with gasoline, which is not more than 10 minutes, assuming the pumps are operating properly for most vehicles on the road. And it's going to be very interesting to see how the industry adapts to all these problems that I'm bringing up on this show, which are being sort of kept under the rug, so to speak. There's a story in one of my issues today which says EV adoption faces many speed bumps. Well, I'm approaching this topic about the speed bumps in the topics I'm bringing up on this show. The headline below it says, chip crises, Ukraine war, inflation, stymie growing interest in electric vehicles. You know,
yeah, no, it's,
how many people are worrying about the Ukraine war, the chip crisis, and all that? Yes, demand is exceeding supply of the electric vehicles. Tesla is apparently sold out, and it may take months to order a new Tesla at the moment. They are the vehicle that is most, or the manufacturer that is most capable of producing vehicles at a rate that might satisfy the demand for cars. I don't know what's going to happen at Porsche or Audi or Mercedes, but it's not the Ukraine war. For the supplier, it may be all these events that are in this sub-headline under there, but the buyers are not certainly thinking about the Ukraine war and the chip crisis and all that, about their decision to want to buy an electric car or not. The problem is that there are so many people that would like to buy electric cars that are we going to overtax the supply, the charging supply situation with these vehicles? Not to mention the fact that, you know, there are some towns now or places in the country, I think, and certainly in Europe, that are requiring all new construction of residential houses to be constructed with charging ports automatically as part of the things you have to put in a newly constructed house for sale. Very smart, but if you put one in that's at 200 amps and then you have a car that can do 800 amps, I don't know that's going to charge your car any faster, except the battery. This all has to do with the battery capacity to accept a charge. And there's certainly technology coming fast on stream of different types of batteries that are going to be able to apparently take a charge much faster than the current crop of electric cars can, given what is available to charge them with. I guess we can stop on that, but that's what I think, and I think it's going to be interesting to watch. The other part is, of course, the range anxiety, back to the 300-mile minimum in my point. Yes, in the wintertime, if you have your batteries charged 80% or more, which is apparently some places say you should not charge your batteries more than 80% of their capacity because it hurts the battery's capacity or endurance factor. I don't know much about that, but if you start your electric car up on a cold morning, 0 degrees, and you turn the heat on, and you, if it's dark, you turn the headlights on. If it's raining, you turn the wipers on. 300 miles is not going to be, and you want to go somewhere like Boston or up to New Hampshire or whatever, you may well find yourself into trouble. And we've talked on this show about what happens when you're on an interstate that's in the blizzard and everybody gets stranded in the blizzard and you run out of electricity to keep the heat on your car. Now, everybody says, well, you run out of gasoline, too. Yes, but you cannot receive a service truck along that type of situation to, you know, give you more electricity for your car like you can to get, let's say, 5 gallons of gas or whatever. These are extreme ideas, but they still happen, and they still have to be thought about by people who really think about whether they want to buy an electric car or not, if they do a lot of daily driving in the multi-hundred-mile range, which many of us do.
Right. So meanwhile, let us take a jump to just regular life, all right? If I call
regular life is a totally different situation. Regular life, electric cars are very competent and able to take care of regular daily life. I will give them that credit.
I wasn't going to talk about electric cars. I was just per se, but if you want to say anything more about EVs.
But Jay's claim is that, 90% of the people aren't doing what you're talking about, Robin, okay? And that may be true. Right around our northwest corner, I have been talking to people who have been getting these plug-in hybrids, whether they're the Toyota RAV4s or the plug-in Priuses or whatever. These people are ecstatic over what they've purchased because around here, I don't know what your daily mileage is, but it's probably not over 40 miles. And all the plug-in hybrids that are currently available that I know of probably get between 35 and 50 miles of plug-in range a day, which for around here is adequate so that you might not ever use gasoline for some time to come. And I mentioned on a few shows back that you have to worry about the gas getting old in the extreme situation that you don't go anywhere over 35 or 40 miles and you never have your gasoline engine running. There's a resident here I've mentioned on the show, too, that's had a Volt for years. And in many cases, he has not had to put gasoline into his 7.5-gallon gas tank to run the charger, the gasoline motor that charges the batteries, because he doesn't do over 35 or 40 miles. And he has to eventually, think about running some gasoline out of the car by using it longer so he can put in fresh gas, which you need to do probably if gas were to sit in your tank unused for 6 months or longer and did not have any preservative characteristics added to it. But, yes, the electric vehicles that are out there now, I was at the auto show recently. We rode around in the Hyundai IONIQ 5 electric vehicles, which were being demonstrated on their track inside the Jacob Javits Center in New York. And they had three models, cheap, medium price and expensively priced. The expensive price had the longer battery range. And, they all were running these cars around. I said, how often do you have to charge them during the day? Well, apparently they don't have to charge them too much during the day, although they had backup vehicles sitting in the pen, so to speak. So if one of the cars needed a charge, that was fine. But they were running these things all day long, taking visitors around just to demonstrate the niceties of electric cars, and they are nice. The interiors were nice. The sound, dead silence, basically. They fortunately are now coming with backup signals, so if you're in reverse, they make some kind of noise so the pedestrians who might be walking across a shopping center where cars are parked and trying to back out might hear of something in reverse before they got hit by a backup, an electric car backing up. My Hyundai Hybrid does not have such a signal. It does not always start the gasoline engine up when I finish getting the mail or coming out of the market. And it is indeed something that I have to spend a very concentrated time making sure that people aren't near the back of my car when I'm backing out, because you can't hear it if the engine doesn't run. So that safety factor is now, I believe, a standard requirement of all at least fully electric cars. I do not know where the plug-in hybrids, I think plug-in hybrids may have it also, but some early hybrid cars did or do not have audible backup signaling warnings, which makes them somewhat dangerous. Yes, ordinary daily life, Jill, you're correct. Most electric cars will probably take care of everybody's ordinary daily life, except people who might commute let's say, New York from here on a daily basis, which is only 95 or under 100 miles away. But still, depending on whether or not you've forgotten to plug your hybrid in at night or your gasoline, your electric vehicle in at night to charge it, which has happened to a couple of people, I can tell you. They have forgotten to plug their car in, and they have found themselves with a range anxiety issue on the following day or days. So that kind of thing is always lurking in the background of electric vehicle ownership besides whatever else may be lurking in the background, some of which I've discussed in this segment of this show. I think, do you have any questions before we move on?
No, you've got 4 minutes, though.
Time. Okay. The electric pickup battle is starting to make the automotive news headlines because Chevrolet and Ford are close to being truly competitive in the electric electric pickup situation, whereas Stellantis, otherwise known as Dodge or Chrysler or whatever, the Ram pickup is 2 years away apparently from producing an electric vehicle. So they're combating the deficiency in their planning by saying they're going to watch and learn from the early entries of Ford and Chevrolet, GMC, electric pickups, and they're trying to say, okay, they're going to watch and see how the Ford and the GM versions operate, so that when they bring this out in 2 years from now, 24 rolls around, the brand is, the brand aims to move into something better. Well, something better is that they might think they can do now probably won't be better by 2024. So this is just a lot of bad-hooking because they're suffering from being way behind in the technology or the production of a fully electric pickup. Ford's pickup came on stream for retail deliveries on, I believe, it was March 26th of this year. And I have yet to see one on the road because, of course, they haven't gotten too many into customers' hands. Let me switch quickly to Rivian because a friend of mine spotted a Rivian pickup truck on the road in Fairfield County. I think it was down in Stamford, Connecticut, early as a week, well, some days ago before this show. And other than the fact that she, it was a woman who saw it, thought it really looked great, it is the first sighting I've heard of anybody that I know that Rivian has actually got a Rivian pickup into a consumer's hands, because there's been lots of discussion about the problem of production issues going on at Rivian, and they've been having to delay significant deliveries of any of their two lines of vehicles currently for some time because of chip issues. Again, we have the chip issue or component issue, supply issue at hand going forward. So
we are out of time. He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.